Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Well, she says it's time, so it must be true. Rich Casanova here for another exciting episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. And we're thrilled with the guest lineup we have in the studio. I don't know how we do this week after week. We just have some amazing folks in here. We have some folks from Legoland. We have a gentleman that's traveled around the world three or four times at least. Or you've at least been in Cartersville at least, right?
Twice, in Cartersville,
yeah. And also some folks from Taste of Atlanta. So let's just introduce our folks real quick before we jump into the interview. So first up from Taste of Atlanta, we have joining us in the studio, Stacy Wienick.
Yes, good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
And we heard there may be some food a little afterwards or whatever, right?
Yeah. You know, there's always going to be a little food.
Nice, exactly, yeah. And it's not leftovers, right? Now, let's introduce to Terry Carver from Bricktops, right? This is good stuff you brought this morning?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning to you, yeah. So you guys ready? Man, all over social media, all weekend, it's all like Taste of Atlanta, whatever, right? Good stuff. Yes? Yes or yes?
Absolutely.
Yes or yes?
Absolutely.
Terry's like, would you phrase that in a question? Yeah. All right. And also joining us in the studio is Kip. And,
Kit.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
Kit.
Yes, what did I just call you?
Kip.
That's right. Yeah. That's common. I had a one in a two chance of getting that right. So Kit Cummings, and you're going to be talking to us about today the Power of the Peace Project?
Yep, Power of Peace Project.
And in a word, is there a word that you can wrap that up in?
Hope.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very good. Put him on the spot, and look at that, Kit. Yeah. Did a great job.
My first thing, I'm correcting the hoax. That's exactly, why I'm not supposed to do.
Well, that's fine or whatever, yeah. My mom corrected me and my dad, my brother, so yeah, I feel right at home. So welcome to the show. We'll be tuning in and checking out and hearing your story in just a moment. But first up, we have Whitney Wilson, and you're the marketing director for Legoland.
I am.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Right, you can almost hear the smile on her face, right? I mean, how can you work at Legoland and not just have like the best time, right?
It's impossible.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about maybe yourself before we jump into Legoland, because there's definitely some exciting stuff going on in October here. But what's your background? How long have you been there, and what's your story?
I have been with Legoland Discovery Center since we opened the gates March 17th of 2012.
Wow.
And I started off as the events manager.
Okay.
And moved up to marketing manager. So I have been with Merlin Entertainments for about 2 years.
Nice. And originally from the area here?
Born and raised, yes. Nice. Went to the University of Georgia.
All right, there you go. Well done. Okay, so Legoland, so we got some questions and some topics and some very timely events going on. But before we jump into that, if folks or listeners have never been to Legoland, can you kind of paint a picture or kind of walk us through what they might expect, right?
Absolutely. Legoland Discovery Center, first and foremost, we're located on the third floor of Phipps Plaza. Okay. So we are an indoor attraction. When it gets cold or it's rainy, we are perfect.
You're weather friendly.
Absolutely. We cater to children 3 to 10 years old. It's a very hands-on experience. We have rides, which is hard to believe.
Really?
Yes, indoors. We have two rides. We also have temporary exhibits that come up every single year. This year, we launched Ninjago Laser Maze.
I'm glad you pronounced that, because I was looking at that earlier. I'm like, Ninjago?
Ninjago. Say it five times fast.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'll just work on the second time. Yeah.
There you go. And we also have a full-size cinema, 4D cinema. We rotate 4D movies back-to-back throughout the day.
4D?
Yes, 4D. So it's 3D, but you feel everything. It might rain on you. It might snow a little bit.
I thought you were just playing two D movies on top of each
that
other or whatever. Yeah.
Not quite.
So, and so this is, how many other Legolands?
So Legoland Discovery Centers, there are 8 in North America right
now.
Wow. Yeah, we just
opened. So we have
one of
the 8. Right,
one
here in Buckhead.
Eight. Yes, right.
We can almost
Buckhead.
See it out the window here. If you lean, you'd have to actually push the window out to see it, but we're close enough, right?
Yeah, I can see it. I can see where I park every day.
Nice. So there's 8 in the U.S.
There's 8, yes. One in Toronto as well. So 8 in North America. And then there are also Legoland theme parks in Florida and California. So we're all part of the same parent company, Merlin Entertainments.
Okay, well, we don't count the Canadians, but yeah. Did I just say that or whatever?
You did.
No, it's all cool. So So you mentioned some of these attractions. So when a family comes through there, as I understand it, they can they kind of pick and choose, or is it one ticket price for everything? Or obviously the movies are probably separate as well, right? Or
No, everything is included.
Really?
That's the beauty of it. Yes, once you're inside, you can stay as long as you like. You can ride the rides over and over again. We encourage it.
Yeah.
And you can watch all of the movies. So everything is included once you're in the gates.
And this wasn't really on our list, but just like I'm kind of curious, what's the kind of volume of, you know, how many people go through in a given month or year or whatever? What's your...
We average about 350,000 per year.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it really varies by season. You know, it gets really cold or really rainy. Yeah. We do well. In the summer, we do well. So year round, we do very well.
And that is interesting from an indoor entertainment perspective, because although we are in the South, weather is great. But yeah, when you have rain and especially if you're kind of held up at the house, you want to kind of get out. But now you have air conditioning and all that good stuff. And then the parents can shop at Phipps there, and you got it all covered.
Yes, absolutely.
So this laser maze, wrap my head around this. Like, what is expand on that a little bit more?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
The best way to explain it is it's a bit like Mission Impossible. So the children are ducking and diving under lasers. For every beam that they break, they lose points. So it's a game. They get a score. You know, the faster they go through it, the higher the score they get. So it's a lot like Mission Impossible. It's a laser maze, literally.
Wow. And so they're able to kind of compete amongst their friends and everybody, whatever, right?
Yes. Yeah. It will give you a score at the end.
How many kids can play at the same time on that game?
You really want to go through by yourself, because you don't want your little brother or sister breaking beams when you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, you don't know my brothers. Good thing we went around at that time. Well, yeah, speaking of that, when was the first Legoland created? Putting you on the spot. You may not know all this history or whatever. Yeah, that's what Google's for, right?
That's what Google's for. So we were the third in the U.S.
Wow.
We open 1 to 2 in the U.S. every single year.
Yeah, they're rapidly expanding.
We are rapidly expanding. We just recently opened Boston this year.
Right.
Last year, we did Westchester and Toronto. And then the year we opened, it was Atlanta and Kansas City. And before that, there was just Chicago, Dallas, and Manchester.
Huh. So there's lots of coming down the down the pipe as well.
Yes.
So tell us about some events coming up. You have some exciting events at the Discovery Center?
We do. Every October, we host our Brick or Treat event. It's held every single weekend in the month of October. We've got all kinds of fun activities for the children, including trick or treating, so they can get some goodies.
Right, nice.
We also have a Guess How Many Pumpkins Are in the Center contest.
Really?
Which, if you walk through, you will find them everywhere. They are all over the place.
Oh, it's not just like one stack. It's all throughout the center.
All throughout the center, there are Lego pumpkins everywhere. And so we have a Guess How Many contest.
Okay, just tell me how many there are, yeah.
There are at least 200.
Oh, okay,
at least 200 pumpkins.
Jeez.
Right now. We also have a Lego pumpkin patch that you can help us create. So the kids can come out, they can build a pumpkin and put it in our pumpkin patch. And then on October 25th and 26th at 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. both days, we will have our annual costume contest for the kids.
Yeah, I heard about that. There's a costume contest in the works, whatever. Yeah, so have you all done this? Is this something new this year, or you did it last year?
We have done it every single year
since
we've opened. Yes, it's very, very well received. We get a good response from it. Kids come out in costume. We give out some great prizes. Every child will walk away with something. And we've even got some Lego trophies for the top three. We've got some annual passes to give away. So lots of giveaways.
Man, I just missed out. You know, it's all about timing or whatever. I was born at the wrong time. These kids, they got it all now. But
they got it made.
But I mean, that's pretty cool with the costume, because that must be... I mean, talk about family-friendly and kid-friendly in that environment, and come out and have a good time, right?
Absolutely. The costumes every year impress me. Last year, our top winner actually had a homemade Lego minifigure costume, and it was fantastic. These kids are so creative. They come up with the most amazing things. I know when I was younger, I didn't make a Lego minifigure costume. I was not that good. So every year, it's very impressive.
So you probably have families coming. What's maybe the furthest they some have traveled from.
We do track that. I would say majority of visitors are from a 30 to 60 mile radius.
Right, sure.
We do a lot of business out of Nashville, Birmingham, and the Carolinas.
Yeah, absolutely.
To drive markets.
Yeah, nice. Well, and so many attractions here in Atlanta. I mean, it's just like all the stars aligning, right?
It is.
So you just kind of piggyback on that.
Yeah.
I had a great question. I was trying to think. I need to think of it again here. But on the costume contest, well, the dates, it goes, you have this event every weekend through October, right?
Yes, the event itself is every weekend through October. The costume contest will only be the 25th and 26th, right before Halloween. We wanted to give everyone plenty of time to really get a good costume together and to come out and participate. So that's the only weekend the costume contest will be happening. Right. But the other events will be happening every other weekend.
Okay, I thought of my question now. So, can folks, families, can they rent parts of the facility or whatever for private parties? Or you guys host like parties and they like a package or?
Absolutely. Yeah, the center is available for rent. It does vary, you know, depending on the time. If you want to obviously do it in busy time, it will, you know, be a little bit more budget. But yes, we absolutely, birthday parties, corporate events. We also do adult nights.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. That's what I was leaning. You saw me kind of lean that way. I mean, yeah, because so companies come in and they experience it like kids or whatever, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, even though we do target children 3 to 10, we understand that Lego is an iconic classic toy and they have fans, you know, that are of all ages. And so we do host monthly adult nights and we do you know, buyouts and things like that for events.
For corporate functions.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month, you said there's actually a built-in schedule for the big kids to come out and play?
Yes, once a month. It's typically the second Thursday of every month. They're themed, and everything is available for the adults. So the adults can still ride the rides. They can still watch all the movies.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, they have a good time.
So tell our listeners, what's the best way to get in touch and find out about all these activities and the venue as well?
Absolutely. The best way to check us out is online at www.legolanddiscoverycenter.com. We also have a fantastic Facebook page, so you can just look us up on Facebook at Legoland Discovery Center Atlanta.
Well, Whitney, it was a pleasure having you here and hearing the story, and I learned things I didn't know that was happening at Legoland or whatever. Yeah, so enjoyed having you here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe stick around. We may have some questions from our guest here as well. But up next, we have in the studio joining us is Kit. Kit, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
All right. So a little bit about yourself. You're a native Atlantan?
50 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And BBA in marketing from the Terry School of Business, which we have right. We can see out our window as well.
But I was University of Georgia, too.
Oh, okay.
Athens. Yeah. Terry School.
But your marketing was from the Terry School, in Athens there.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about this Power of Peace project, which you has been what you've been working on for how long now?
About 5 years.
Okay. And this has taken you to Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe. And you recently went on a speaking tour in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ukraine. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, some interesting. So, your passport has it? You got any pages left in your passport yet?
right. I had to tell my wife last night, "Babe, I'm going to Cuba in January, so I'm gonna do Cuban prisons in January."
Wow, that's a trip. Yeah. So, before you were doing this, tell us a little bit of your backstory prior to this project.
Well, as you said, grew up an Atlanta native, went to the University of Georgia, got out, least likely guy to become a preacher. And for real.
Right.
And when I did, freaked everybody out. And so, but anyway, I did that for about 15 years and did, you know, pretty well by those standards, led some large churches, built and led large churches, and got burnout, just went through a burnout. Midlife crisis, possibly. You know,
right,
it's 40-ish. I just got kind of out of gas and walked away from it. Went and did some stuff in the corporate world, tried to kind of get my feet under me. And then just stumbled upon this, which has become the great work of my life, my passion.
So so tell folks about the Power of the Peace Project. I mean, what's the mission, the concept, I guess, sir?
Yeah, it was an idea that became an experiment, which led to the development of a program that now is a movement. I mean, it really is. So I'm chasing it, you know, trying to keep up with it.
Right.
But you know, I go where I'm invited, and I had developed a motivational speaking venture and developed my own company. And developed a message about attitude called Attitude Science. And I would go to, you know, attitude, I can speak to anybody. And I love to speak. And I, it's high energy and it's humor. And I love it. I come alive when I get to do this. And so anyway, I was invited to go into a prison.
Now,
wow. You know, we don't go into
most people don't get invited.
Right.
When you say invited, kid, you mean, yeah.
Well, when I was young, there were a few nights here and there, right. But I never had to change my clothes. They always let me out the next day. So that was cool. but that tells you a little bit. I told you, least likely.
Yeah,
that was me. So anyway, so I went and I went into what was, I didn't know it.
Right.
I didn't know what I didn't know, but it was Georgia's most violent maximum security prison.
Wow.
Number one gang prison in the state of Georgia. And I can't tell you why. I just made a connection. When I went in, something clicked on, and I was fascinated. The men found they felt it. And I can't tell you why other than it was a calling. And I began to go more and more. And I just couldn't get away from it. And it was an experiment. And I tried it on Dr. King's birthday in January 11th. And I challenged 12 guys, black, white, Hispanic, young, some gang affiliated, long-term, some life sentence inmates, to try a 40-day peace pledge in honor of Dr. King.
Wow.
Came up with 7 steps. It was a journaling project, small group element, and a movement started. And that prison, which was coming off the hinges, I mean, there were 4 deaths in 6 weeks. I mean,
jeez.
Gang war going through it. It became peaceful for a time in one institution of the year in the state of Georgia. Never done that in 23 years. So now all of a sudden there was a buzz.
Oh, yeah. It got the attention. Yeah. So, and this evolved into a peace initiative for at-risk youth.
Absolutely. And so it started with trying to help some guys that were in big trouble. How do we create a better quality of life? How do we get them prepared to go back and not hurt somebody when they leave? And how to keep them from hurting one another while they're in? The great unintended consequence was this became a story. And in motivational speaking, you got to have a hook. Celebrity, millions of dollars,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, whatever. My hook became, oh, he works with the bad guys. He tries to negotiate peace between rival gang leaders. And I started having fun with it. Maybe I could work with your managers, you know, try to bring them
exactly,
together.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so, but anyway, so that kind of launched. And then I was invited to go into a school and I started telling these stories about these real-life convicts. And I found out that there was a power in it because the kids are already playing Grand Theft Auto, listening to hip hop with a lot of, you know, the music's changed. And it held their attention and kept it, you know, middle school and high school, tough schools, and then the suburbs with this heroin problem. And it grew into a prevention program with teens.
Wow. And then, so this being a faith-based initiative, how, you know, churches and communities, how have they gotten involved in the project?
That's a great question. I mean, my foundation is faith-based, right. But I had to create a program that could go into corporate, could go into public schools, could go in. So
all sectors, yeah.
There you go. So I built it around iconic peacemakers from the 20th century. King, Gandhi, Mandela, Dalai Lama, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, Albert Einstein, Mother Teresa. So we started teaching these universal laws and principles. Well, one of the things Dr. King did early in the civil rights movement, and it's become patterned after the civil rights, this young generation's never had a peace movement of their own, and they're becoming more and more at risk of bullying, cyberbullying, you know, problems with drug addiction, heroin use. But anyway, it began to speak to them. But Dr. King, he called 50 pastors at the when that movement was just getting started and challenged them to use their voice and their facilities to be rallying points. And I thought, well, let's do the same thing. So when I go into a new community, like I was in Ferguson, Missouri, a lot of unrest up there around Michael Brown's shooting and Darren Wilson. And I've started to go to the hot spots, you know, you mentioned Ukraine, Honduran prison tour about 6 months ago, toughest, you know, homicide capital of the world. But these prisons, they will come to peace, schools, inner city communities. But the churches need to be community rallying points, town hall meetings. And so that's, we go into a city or a town, and right now, Michigan, Kansas, Ohio are starting to really blow up. And I target prisons and jails, schools, and then rally churches, and then corporate sponsorship around it and start healing wounded communities.
Yeah, because a lot of times churches, they're very kind of like self-contained, a little bit in their bubble, whatever, right? They're doing great work within the church. But a lot of times there's a disconnect within the community, the outreach. I mean, a lot of them are doing great work, but sometimes there's just that, you know, it needs someone like yourself or an initiative or, you know, a program that can kind of springboard that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's preaching to the converted. a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and I say this with great respect for a lot of churches that are doing incredible work, but you know, churches are supposed to be hospitals for sinners, not museums for saints.
Well, nice.
And so, you know what I mean?
But so talk to us about this POP tagline, healing the wounded communities from the inside out. I mean, this, the triangle, I mean, what's this all about?
Yeah, I kind of like POP, you know, P-O-P-P. Yeah, that's the Power Peace Project, the Power Peace Productions. Power Peace Project is a 501c3, okay? And I launched the Power Peace Productions to tell the story.
Okay.
And so I write and we film and do this kind of thing. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Sure.
And also Global Authority Agency.
There you go. Nice.
You like
that? Also joining us in the studio here. Yeah.
A little thing from my buddy Craig Williams. Look him up.
There you go.
But anyway, I look at that triangle and POP has become a team movement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be rappelling. I'm looking for it. But this Saturday, there's an event called Shatterproof. And y'all pray for your boy. Because I'm going to be rappelling down a 22-story high-rise here in Buckhead.
In Buckhead? Do you know which one?
The Intercontinental Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just down the street on Peachtree. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, we're going to be rappelling down it because there's 22 million Americans that are affected by families affected by addiction. So we're going to do one story per. So I ain't never done that before, but... Anyway, this Saturday, it's called Shatterproof, so your listeners ought to look it up. But we're trying to create awareness around this problem, which is taking our teens. I mean, it really is. They're in trouble.
Now, there's mention of the Ellsworth experiment. What's that? What's that about?
The Muskegon experiment, which became the Muskegon model, which now we've taken to Ellsworth. It's a Kansas community, but it's this project where you get the attention with the convicts. they're forgotten and hated and feared. A lot of them, right? But I go in there and it's fathers and brothers and grandfathers, and now we're going into women's prisons. And so we start there, and then it's really become this amazing, powerful, but very simple. I created a series of 40-day journals, 40 days to peace, 40 days to freedom, 40 days of prayer. And it connects the community. But what participants do and students do is sign a peace pledge, commit to 7 principles for 40 days, journal about it, get together once a week, watch a little DVD, and then discuss. And they're sitting around convicts are sitting around with their rivals, Crips and Bloods, Muslims and Christians, black, white, brown. Students look across and they see the, the stud athlete with the, the student that maybe doesn't fit in as well, and the mean girl, with the girl that feels like a, misfit.
Right.
And you put them all in the same group, Breakfast Club.
Right,
and they start discussing this 40-day journey, and magic happens, and it's an anti-bullying campaign. So POP is what we call it, the POP team movement. And kids are, wearing this wristband that say, hope is the new dope. Did you get that? Hope
is the new
dope. They love that. And and they wear the wristband, which symbolizes their commitment to be a peacemaker in their school.
Wow.
And we're changing what cool looks like, and we're making the bullies no longer cool. Now the peacemaker is. And if we can get the girls to quit liking the bullies, we'll put them out of business. Let them start liking the peacemakers, and that's what we do.
I mean, the ripple effect of that is it's got to be like...
It works in a prison. I mean, where can it work?
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. So finally, tell us about, talking about the schools, a Michigan school tour. Mm-hmm. Was that... involving what you just explained as well?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, and I'm going back and the beginning of November because we got to celebrate. When they take the 40-day challenge, you go back and you celebrate, and we reward them. And they get Hope is the New Dope T-shirt certificates. We do that in prison, too. They won't let me get T-shirts out anymore in prison.
Oh, really?
But anyway, they get a lot of that. We make it a big deal.
Yeah.
But this 2 weeks ago in Michigan, it works everywhere. There was a rural school, which was mostly white. They get all fired up. They want to do it. And then you've got an inner city school, which looks like, if our listeners remember Dangerous Minds with Michelle Pfeiffer,
that? Yep.
It really is that kind of school. And then you've got everything in between, private school, alternative school. And this speaks to all of them. And so I did a tour after I did the prisons. And then we connected with a couple of churches, and I'll go back, and I'm going to, like I said, Cuba,
That's South crazy,
Africa. Yeah. It's like peace, it resonates with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody wants it.
I mean, you made a great observation early on when we just began speaking, is about this idea of, for this generation, there's no peace movement, right? There's no movement, maybe, period. It's all social media.
There
it's all
go.
Kind of the, what was the 60s was the me generation or whatever, right? Now it's the I generation, right?
It really is. Yeah.
And if they step outside themselves, and just the way you kind of visualize that group setting,
yeah,
right? And understanding the person across the table from you, I mean, there's good stuff that has to come out of that, right?
It's awesome. Yeah. Really, we had in the 60s, there were civil rights, and then there was anti-war movement. Then there was free love and the women's movement and just women's rights. And then it became, this generation, like you said, doesn't know
there's
it.
There's a vacuum there.
There really is. And we teach these principles, attitude science, which are so simple but powerful. And we teach them that, you know, that you got to connect and you got to start the conversation. The parents don't know how to speak the language. They're not, it's not that they're not trying, but these kids need to. So it, it really is their peace movement.
Well, to have these tools and resources they can plug into. So tell our listeners, what's the best way to find out more about what the Peace Project and what you're involved in?
Yeah. It's powerofpeaceproject.com. Okay. And there's a lot of other ways you can get there. You remember this, hopeisthenewdope.com.
Okay, there you go. That's a catchphrase, yeah.
Right, you like that? Yeah. Teenpeace.net. There's a lot of ways to get it, but powerofpeaceproject.com or just Google Kit Cummings and it'll go straight there. On Twitter, it's powerofpeace88.
Right.
Facebook is the Power of Peace Project or just Kit Cummings. There's a few pages. Okay. And I'm encouraging. Right now, we're in the middle of a 30-day Indiegogo campaign, and we're raising money to put 100 kids through this Inspired Straight program. Can't scare them straight, can inspire them straight.
Right.
So, you know, Indiegogo, if you want to go and help, that'd be great.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question earlier, is how would people get behind you and support or corporate sponsorship? But Indiegogo, I mean,
Or go on our website and buy some swag.
There you go,
For real, hats, socks, t-shirts, power piece.
Nice. All right, Kit, well, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us here in the studio.
I'm grateful, thank
you. Yeah, absolutely. And so from peace to some dining and Taste of Atlanta, going on, which is a big happening annually here. We're going to check in with our folks right now joining us in the studio. Welcome back to the studio. Stacy, how are you? Have you enjoyed it so far?
So far, so good. Sounds great.
Right. And also from Bricktops is Terry Carver. So Terry, what do you do over there?
I'm the general manager.
Okay. So you're here in the studio. Everything's okay back there now, right?
You know, I hope so. That should be the plan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So tell us before we jump into Taste of Atlanta, and there's lots to talk about what's going on in Atlanta for that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Terry. What's your background, your backstory before taking over the whole operations at Bricktops here?
Absolutely. Originally born and raised in the great state of Tennessee, surrounded by a lot of dogs here, but I'm going to try to work through it. Go Vols.
Right.
been in the restaurant business for about 31 years. Been with Bricktops for about 6 years.
Okay, cool. And originally from what part country, right?
Originally from Tennessee, West Tennessee, outside of Memphis.
So that makes sense. UT, yeah. And we're very business friendly. We're very college friendly here too. So yeah. All right. And Stacy, how did you end up involved? Well, before we talk about involvement in Taste of Atlanta, what's your background?
I grew up in Dallas, but I went to Emory University, so I'm a can't get into the football debate today, but
we got it all covered. Whatever,
yeah, I think so. I'm an Emory grad, and my background is the restaurant business and the event marketing business. So, Taste of Atlanta was the perfect combination of both.
And originally from Utah or
Dallas.
So we'll start with Stacy. Tell us a little bit about the Taste of Atlanta. It's been around for this is the 13th year?
This is our 13th year. It's Atlanta's premier food festival. We bring together about 90 of Atlanta's best restaurants. We have our corporate sponsors and just some of the best bites in the city.
Nice.
We are over 3 days. Friday night, October 24th, is our kickoff party.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday is the festival itself. And again, come hungry.
Now, I've been, am I correct or incorrect? There's been some Twitter activity about the Taste of Atlanta going on here. What's that all been about? Just the lead up to it? Or
one would hope.
Yeah.
You know, we just want to create a lot of buzz. We want people to know they need to buy tickets, and they need to buy tickets today. Last year, VIP did sell out both Saturday and Sunday. We'd love for to sell out again this year. So you don't want to wait and just see what that week is going to bring. You want to buy your tickets now. So we've got all our restaurants hopefully talking about it and our sponsors talking about it.
And that's crazy. So you have 90 of Atlanta's restaurants and chefs all coming together for one mega weekend. Just
can
anybody
consume weekend.
That much food or whatever? How many days is it?
It's 3 days.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, well, so you have time to take a break in between. You know,
the way the festival itself works on Saturday and Sunday is you get taste coupons with your ticket, and you have to buy your tastes for one, two, or three taste coupons.
Right.
So you have to think about it, take a little spin around, see what looks good, and share with your friends.
But correct me if I'm right or wrong on this here, but the general admission right now, $25 in advance, and that gives you 10 taste
coupons? That gives you 10 taste coupons.
So for only $2.50, right? You got some amazing food to pick from, yeah.
You're not gonna go away hungry.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. You better not, or your money back, right? Yeah, or that's your own fault, right?
That's right. That's your own fault.
That's better. Yeah. Okay. So, and then does it move around each year? This is the 13th year. Does it locale change?
No, no. We have been at Tech Square in Midtown for the past 6 years. We love that location. We close down Spring Street and Fifth Street for a couple of days, and we get to spread out throughout that Tech Square area.
Does the city know you're closing down the streets, or
we try and keep them informed.
Yeah, right. That's good. That's a good idea.
A little permit process thing. Yeah, they're aware.
Yeah. So Terry, you're going to bring some amazing food to the event, right?
Absolutely. We're participating for about 5 years now to Taste of Atlanta, and we usually bring our signature dishes to bring to the people.
Okay. And what are some we might look for this year?
Well, this year you can expect our New Orleans-style shrimp, as well as our grilled artichokes and our black bean chicken chili.
Oh, man, I like the artichokes or whatever, yeah. Maybe hopefully you brought some of those this morning.
That could be talked into that.
Yeah, give me a twist your arm, yeah. Okay, and how long, I think we mentioned earlier, but how long have you been with Bricktops?
Been with Bricktops about 6 years.
Okay. And so 6 years with the Taste of Atlanta as well, yeah.
6 years with the Taste of Atlanta, absolutely. We saw it as an opportunity to some branding. We were still relatively new to the Buckhead area, and it was a way of getting our products and our service out to the people that may not have heard of Bricktops previously.
And I'm reading that they're expecting somewhere upwards of 40,000 people over the 3 days.
I think we're looking at about 40,000 people. One of the things
that's a lot of food. Divide that by 90 restaurants. Let me see here.
Well, what Terry was saying is it's such a great way for these businesses to introduce themselves and to show off their best tastes, their best products to these active consumers. One of Taste of Atlanta's missions is turning tasters into diners, and that is how can we get these people eating in these restaurants week after week, not just coming to Taste of Atlanta. So we want people to be able to come back to Bricktops and say, oh my God, I had that grilled artichoke at Taste of Atlanta. I can't wait to have it again in your restaurant.
Yeah, that sounds good to me or whatever. Yeah, that's good marketing. So this year's festival is going to spice things up a little different format. And you're going to be spotlighting some individual neighborhoods as well as those restaurants that call them home?
Right. So Atlanta, the city itself, is really a city of neighborhoods.
Right.
And, Buckhead alone, we've got Ocean Prime and Coast and Don Antonio by Starita. We've got Luska and Salt Yard down in South Buckhead, Seven Lamps. So we have a lot of Buckhead restaurants participating, but we also have Midtown restaurants and Alpharetta restaurants and Roswell restaurants. So we want to...
Decatur and Sandy Springs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want people, as they walk down a certain street at the festival, to say, wow, I didn't know this many restaurants were in Buckhead, this many accessible restaurants. People might think Buckhead has a certain type of restaurant that is not something that's family friendly or is not something for them. So they can really be exposed to all the different varieties of restaurants in each neighborhood.
Or like Decatur or Virginia Highlands. I lived in Atlanta for quite a while before I went to Decatur. It's a really cool vibe going over there. But a lot of times you go to these big festivals or events and you're like, you know, that's the entry into next time I'm in Decatur, I got to look these folks up, right?
Absolutely.
So now also in addition to food, which is, you better have some food, right? But you're going to be featuring some live entertainment?
We have chef demos on four different stages. We've got our kitchen workshop, which is a hands-on cooking class sponsored by the Cook's Warehouse and Guy Gunter Home. And that is literally a step-by-step cooking class where each participant is going to cook along with the chef. And this year we have Bravo's top chef, Kristen Kish. She won season 10. She's going to be teaching class in the kitchen workshop on Sunday at the festival.
So anybody out of the audience can just jump up there and start cooking with the chef?
Well, 40, you register for the class and 40 people have their own station and they cook along with the chef.
Man. And then also notice, I have to bring this up, the big green egg grilling experience.
Right, we have a grill stage sponsored by Big Green Egg, so we have chefs all throughout the day cooking on their Big Green Eggs.
have a buddy that's just like, he's a little maybe fanatical about his
people tend to be. You can't get around the Big Green Egg.
He's had the original Big Green Egg, and then he took a photo of the he went to the Big Green Egg factory in the sky or whatever.
They're up in Lawrenceville.
And took a picture of him buying his new one, right? And then and I didn't realize until recently that they're based here in Atlanta.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, they're up in on Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker.
Am I the only person that just does realize that? Yeah.
So it's like going to the Cabbage Patch, you know, factory. Exactly. You can pick out your own Big Green Egg
as
it's being born.
Or go to Legoland if you're a big Lego fan or whatever, right? You're like, you know, the Hallelujah music plays when you enter Legoland, right? Or in this case, Big Green Egg Land.
Right. And then you can't forget about our Friday night kickoff party. That is an all-inclusive party with just lots of food, alcohol. There's a fun 80s band called Electric Avenue that's going to play.
Man.
So
Terry, what have you, you've been there 6 years now. Do you ever get a break to kind of step away and enjoy some of the other goings on? Or?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. That is one of the treasures of going to the Taste of Atlanta. Not only do we get to provide the guests with our food and our service, but, you know, I myself may not have heard or seen some of these vineyards. So it's always good to go and taste other foods and some of the other services that are at the Taste of Atlanta.
Steal, I mean borrow, or just sample some of the recipes?
We kind of have an understanding, a little bit of bartering that goes on
nice,
there.
Nice. And so you get a chance to take in some of the entertainment? Or
Yes, we do. I have witnessed some of the cooking shows, which were phenomenal. It's very hands-on. It gets the people to, you know, just play with the different, whether it be a wok or a skillet or things that they may not come into contact with on a regular basis. So it is a good time.
Yeah. And a perfect event for the family, right? So there's a family food zone. What's
right.
that?
We're very family-friendly. The family food zone is another stage where there's family-friendly cooking demos going on throughout the day. Again, with some great sponsors, American Family Insurance and IKEA. IKEA is going to be there sampling their meatballs.
I was going to say furniture. I didn't know.
No.
They're sweet as meatballs. Yeah.
That's, I was gonna say,
sometimes I've gone there just
families
for that.
Know IKEA families know IKEA is about more than just the furniture. Okay. And then there's just some great sponsor activities. Porsche is going to be there introducing their new Porsche driving experience.
Really?
That's opening up in Hapeville in a few months.
They're going to be tastings inside the Porsche.
No. I think they're just going to show you some cars talk about, like I said, this new Porsche driving experience in Hapeville.
Because they're is it the corporate headquarters is based here or one of the big regional offices, right? Yeah. And so tell us about this Throwdown tent. You got all these catchy, nifty marketing ideas. We might steal some of these. Throwdown Radio, bring it on. Yeah.
We want people to understand that rain or shine, Taste of Atlanta is going to be the place to be the weekend of the 24th, 5th, and 6th, because it is about the food, but you've got to pace yourself. Go watch some cooking demos. Go to the Throwdown tent. For 5 taste coupons, you're going to be able to taste 5 fried chickens at the Fried Chicken Throwdown.
It says it right here. She's not lying. Fried Chicken Throwdown. Bring it on.
So you get to vote and see, is it JCT Kitchen? Is it the new Max's Wine Dive? Or just opened in Avondale Estates is the Bishop. So the three of them are going to compete, and we'll see which three have the three.
What's the Bishop?
The Bishop is a new pub that opened in Avondale about a month or two ago.
Huh.
And so again, representing different neighborhoods and representing some of the best food in the city.
And included in that, these names, I just, the Meat Brawl, come on.
The Meat Brawl is a spinoff of our Meatball Festival we had a few weeks ago.
Sure.
So the top 3 meatball competitors are going to throw down in that Meat Brawl.
Meat Brawl, nice. The Sandwich Smackdown, I mean.
So if you haven't been to Villains in Midtown, they are going to be serving up some great sandwiches along with a few other competitors. So, you know,
come on, Bricktops. Do you guys have any kind of a throwdown or smackdown?
We do a little smackdown on a daily basis in the kitchen.
Nice, yeah.
But nothing we can
talk
about.
For the customers, yeah. Absolutely. Not for radio, yeah. All right, you guys got to come up with something. We'll think of something. The Bricktop, give me a minute here, but let's talk about, what about the Taco Takeover? What does that look like?
Well, again, we've got 3 restaurants that will be competing to see who's got the best tacos. Everybody's got their unique spin, and we want to give Taste of Atlanta patrons a chance to vote and see who their favorites are.
Okay. And remind us of these pricing options once again here.
So again, tickets are on sale now. You can buy online at ticketalternative.com. You can also go into the Georgia Tech box office at the Student Center, Cook's Warehouse locations, Whole Foods locations, and buy your tickets. General admission is $25 and VIP is $75. And prices do go up at the gate. So again, you want to buy now. And tasteofatlanta.com is your spot to find out all this information.
So you can get those discounts almost up until the day of the event or the day before,
right,
kind of thing?
Right.
Okay, nice. What was the other questions here? You mentioned there's souvenirs. Now, what's the VIP experience?
The VIP experience is open from 12:30 to 5:30 on Saturday and Sunday, and that is an all-inclusive experience as well. It's 40 wines, 50, 60 craft beers, several spirit sponsors, our bar craft competition finals, other sponsor experiences you're not going to get in the main festival. So it's really, again, an all-inclusive, lots of alcohol, lots of fun. We've got a speaker's corner tent, another kind of interactive tent where we'll have some demos going on.
So let me ask a dumb question. Is that ticket good just, we probably already said this, but for the ticket is good just for one day? You pick your day?
Yes, okay, you pick your day. You buy a ticket for Saturday or you buy your ticket for Sunday.
Okay, cool. And this, we say Midtown, but this encompasses 10 city blocks?
It does. We're on Spring Street and Fifth Street are our main arteries there. We go all the way down the Fifth Street Bridge to the Georgia Tech campus, to the Biltmore Hotel on the east end, and all the way down to Fourth Street on the south.
And besides the restaurants, obviously, I mean, how do y'all pull this all together? I mean, what are some of the there are sponsors obviously involved, and there's probably sponsorship opportunities that are sold out at this point. Or
we are just about sold out. Okay. Yes, we tend to fill up in August, so lots of sponsor activities. Again, Chipotle, Porsche is going to be there, like I said, American Family Insurance, IKEA. Those guys are all our key sponsors.
We'd love to be a sponsor. Radio X for $1.50.
That's right. And again, you know, these guys are going to be sampling too. Kura Green Mountain, you can get your cup of coffee from them. You can go to Chipotle and try out their food. So yeah, we can't do it without our sponsors. And there's this other company called Coke. They're a pretty big sponsor too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If you got them, then it's game over or whatever. Yeah. So Bricktops. So we're still working on something for Bricktops here for their Bricktops. Help me out, people. Come on, Kit. You're probably pretty.
I just think we need to bring a peace movement. They got to throw down, smack down the brawl.
Exactly, yeah.
Lots of alcohol, people 10 blocks. Shoot, right. We need to bring the power of peace to the Taste of Atlanta.
I think you're not going to be.
You haven't met Atlanta chefs. Right. They have a very competitive nature.
That's interesting. You know, think about that. It does sound kind of a violent event, right?
Man, I work in those environments. Come on, man. Throw down, smack down.
It's all friendly competition.
Yeah, it needs to be the brick down, brick top, chill down, or whatever.
I don't know. Lego's got an adult night. I mean, I'm concerned about the
city peace.
I think you're here for us today, right? Yeah. You're here for us today to help us out.
Yeah, we're going
to
have an intervention right after this show, whatever, right? Yeah.
Now you have to remember we've got our silent auction that benefits No Kid Hungry's Cooking Matters program. Friday night beneficiaries, Georgia Organic. So, you know, we do have our peaceful beneficiaries as well.
Bam, right back at you, kid. Whatever, yeah. Good,
sure.
good save.
Yeah,
good
like,
save.
Like she was going to bring that up. Yeah, right.
No, that's great. So tell us once again those the benefits that you're...
Right, sure. Our silent auction benefits Cooking Matters, No Kid Hungry program, and that brings education, cooking classes, shopping knowledge to... low-income families.
To help them make better food choices, I guess.
To help them make their food dollar go further and to make better food choices and to learn how to cook and prepare these foods for their families. And over the past probably 4 years, we've raised several $100,000 for No Kid Hungry.
Kudos. Way to go. Whatever. Yeah. And Terry, how long are you going to be there? You going to be there all 3 days?
We will be there the weekend. We usually participate on all days available because we think it's just a great opportunity to put our food out there in front of the guests.
Yeah. And tell us again how they can find out about y'all and where's your restaurant. And
we're on the corner of Peachtree and Piedmont, 3280. You can reach us on www.bricktops.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right in there, you guys must do a ton of business with the business. Every time everybody breaks for lunch, I mean, you guys
Absolutely.
Get slammed, right?
Absolutely. We have a wonderful power lunch. We appreciate all of our guests, but we're also family friendly as well. And we do have also private dining opportunities.
Okay, and people could maybe reserve it for special events?
They can reserve for special events. Just call up anytime and ask for Terry, and we'll be more than happy to work something out with you.
There you go.
As well, if you say you heard me on the radio station, I'm going to give you a free appetizer on me.
Sweet, yeah. All right, nice. And what are your some of your famous famous dishes or most popular dishes over there?
Well, other than the three items that I mentioned earlier that we're featuring at the Taste, we have a phenomenal crab cake dish. So if you like crab cakes, jumbo lump, crab meat, you know, and the mustard sauce, it's incredible. Ribs fall off the bone, knife and fork. The smells coming out of the kitchen will drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah, nice. You're quite the salesman there or whatever, yeah. All right, so so tell our listeners once again how they find out about Taste of Atlanta.
Great. Well, first, I'm going to give one more plug for Terry and those artichokes at Bricktops. This is my seventh or eighth festival, and the grilled artichokes at Bricktops are my one food that I have to try every year at Taste of Atlanta.
I concur. I've never even had them, but they sound great or whatever. Yeah, I'm ready for mine. Yeah, we're going to. Go ahead.
Oh, so Taste of Atlanta, again, tickets are on sale now. Tasteofatlanta.com, $25 in advance, $75 for VIP, and again, all those cooking schedules and restaurant lists, everything's online at tasteofatlanta.com.
That's where I'm headed. I'm going to VIP ticket. That sounds like the ticket, right?
21 or older, no babies, no strollers, no kids. It's open again. The festival on Saturday. You'd be surprised. The festival on Saturday, we're going a little later this year. We're going from noon to 8 p.m. So down on the bridge, we're going to have some live music. We want people to stay a little bit later this year and enjoy themselves. But VIP is going to close at 5:30. So you want to come and enjoy VIP and then go head out into the main festival.
Nice. Well, I want to thank all of our guests here for being this morning. It was a great show from Legoland to the Peace Movement to the Food Movement, right? It's all good stuff. And Rich Casanova once again for Buckhead Business Radio X. We'll see you here next week.